I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Eddie from the CME group of NA in the Piana. Okay.
Welcome anyway.
Hello, my name is Eddie and I'm an addict. Hey. Let me just start off by saying my clean date. Clean date is 8/2/98. I just celebrated 20 years. Humility. Took a while for me to figure that out and stuff. I'll get to all that, but first thing I'm going to say from the door, if you're newer than me or you're just coming in this program, stay here. Get started. Don't do like what I'm getting ready to say I did. Come in here, get involved. Get your hunger, get your sponsor. Do them step work. Get involved because it's very important you start from the door. Now, my story is different because what I did might not work for everybody else, but it just so happened I have a God of my understanding that was waiting on me. Well, I got clean in 98. And I went away to a rehab. They told me up there to just don't pick up. And that's what I did. I didn't pick up. They said, when you leave here, there's a revolving door. A bunch of us here. On your chosen, y'all going to be picked to stay in here. I didn't know nothing about that. All I did was what they told me. When you leave here, go find a home group, get a sponsor, and don't pick up. Well, I did. I got a home group, and I got a sponsor by name. And I didn't pick up. So I went to that sponsor by name, and I asked him, what do you want me to do? He said, don't pick up. And that's exactly what I did. For 15 long years, I didn't pick up. So, but on my journey, why I'm so humble and have immunity is because for the simple fact, I got, you look at me, hear me talk, you might see how I look, how I dress and everything. I got a learning disability. Nobody never know that. That's why when the last young lady was up here talking about how she read all the way through humility, it's in this many times or this many times here, this many times there. It's foreign to me. I didn't understand none of that. But I respect what she was saying because of the fact that that's what I was all my life. I didn't want to never tell nobody, but nobody, it ain't no secret. Because I ain't got no secret. When I was out there shooting dope, doing all the other stuff, wasn't no secret. But anyway, I always was jealous of people like that. I come from a family of a large family, and out of 10 of us, out of 10 of us, everybody is real educated. But somehow, I got the luxury. I didn't get that. But that's okay, though. Because my mother tried her best to do best by me by telling my siblings to go ahead and try to help, but it didn't work. That's the way God had it. That's cool right there. So anyway, long story short, I didn't get high. I knew I wanted something in this room. I didn't know what this room had to offer. So I didn't do nothing. I didn't do no step work. I didn't talk to nobody. I didn't do nothing. Nobody did nothing to me either. And that was wrong. That's why I said, when you get in, it gets started. But one day, as we all know, when the student ready, the teacher arrived. But before all that happened, I had to get humble and wonder why I didn't want to do nothing. Like I said, my lack of education, and I already had somewhere to go. Only reason why I didn't get high no more because I can go back home now. I had my mother and I had my family there, and I had a daughter that I never even took care of. By the grace of God, again, I had a mother and a father that raised that child from birth all the way till she got to be adult. But long story short is, like they said in rehab, we don't have to get high long as we all together, but it's when you're by yourself and you ain't got that crutch no more. What you want to do? Just you and your disease. And what happened was, I ain't saying my God did it, but it was their time. January the 16th. 2010, I was just turning 10 years clean, almost 11, and right after my birthday, my mother died. Then I was sitting there talking to my dad 2 days later, trying to tell him how we going to bury this lady. And as I talked to him, then I turned around and looked at him again. He was passed away. Then so I said, I run upstairs and tell my sister what just happened. I go upstairs and I find her in the bed dead. Then my nephew, I found he was dead. But in all that, I still didn't take nothing. I still didn't take nothing because I didn't know nothing. And my siblings and everything was gone, so the coroner and everybody was there to me saying to everybody, y'all go away. Y'all don't want to see us do this. Y'all don't want to see us take these people out of here. I don't know nothing. So I said, yes, I do. I still didn't watch them drag each of my family members past me, but it didn't bother me because I still didn't take them. But as time went on, I knew something was missing. Even though my family is educated and my daughter's now grown, she went to college, she's educated, she's doing great, everybody got jobs doing good, but I ain't got nothing. But I got me. And I never wanted nobody to know what's wrong with me. So where I live in Pittsburgh on the Hill District. That's where I had it, my humility. I don't know what it is. I just found out tonight what it means. I had to go to them people and stand like I'm standing in front of y'all. What they all looked at me, they couldn't believe it. To this day, people don't believe it when I tell them that I learned a disability. They said, why? What's wrong? Practice. Keep practicing, make perfect. It's easy. I does that. But it's something wrong, and my brain will not connect. I got diabetes, and my eyes are gone, but it's okay. So I went away from Hill District, and I went on the south side, and I met a guy. He's a young guy. And I asked him to be my sponsor, because I didn't know what a sponsor was. He tried his best to do his best for me. I mean, he really did. But he couldn't do it. So when I couldn't find him no more, I went back to there. And I seen this guy, never asked me for nothing. I never asked him for anything. We didn't know each other from a can of paint. And I went up to him, and I asked him, could you be my sponsor? Something told me, just ask this man that. And he said, sure, I'll be your sponsor. But he said, well, I want to ask you something. How much claim time do you got? This real melody came in there. I said, I got 15 years. He said, 15 years? You never had a sponsor? Or done no steps? I said, I don't even know what to do with a sponsor. I definitely don't know how to do no steps because I don't know how to read that good. Now, I'm ready for the laugh. That's why I couldn't do it over on the hill. But this man didn't laugh at me. He told me, you know what? I'm going to help you with this. He said, I'm going to show you how we're going to do this step work. You be honest with me. And I'm going to read the step work to you. And you just be honest with me. Then he said, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to introduce you to some people, some real good people. And back then, he met me to some real good people of his. Didn't know them. They didn't know me from the can of paint. And we all got together. We started being friends and stuff. And he said, now, like she said, all dreams awaken. He said, way back then, he said, we don't start surrendering. You don't start doing your first step. And I started doing it. He said, we leaving. We going somewhere. We going to leave. I never even left. I haven't even left nowhere near Pittsburgh or out of the Hill District. He said, I'm taking you away from here. We going to Florida. He said, this is in August. He said, you save your money. He said, I ain't going to save you. He said, save your money. And in April, we'll leave. I did that. He introduced me to a couple of his friends, mainly this one person. He's my best friend. We do everything together. And we saw going to different places. The crowd, the tears out here, it ain't tears of sadness, it's just tears of joy. I'm happy now. You know, I'm starting to work steps now. We went down Florida, we was in the ocean, and I seen my family there when I done my first step. You know, hey, I don't do it perfectly. I got a sponsor that will help me, but he loved me so much. I should have been way past all these steps what y'all talk about, but I don't know how to do them. But he helps me, like he said. Like when I hear people say, y'all, how y'all do y'all stuff work, I'm just jealous. When I see all this stuff, I can read this book. I went there and read this and that. It don't hurt me no more. At the beginning, I just get mad when I hear people say that. But you know, but it don't bother me no more. When I see my kids and my daughter and my grandkids reading and stuff, it bothers me because I know I want to do that bad. But it don't bother me because I know I got a God that told me, just be humble. Just stay still. I got you. I got you. I had to leave. I was working for a while before my mother and them got sick. Then when they got sick, they came in. They came with the computers start coming in play. Well, you start have to start sit aside in your name on the time sheet or punching in. You have to talk. You have to do it by computer. You got to get online. They were saying that's foreign to me. I don't know none of that. So the place I worked at, I found out that I didn't have a high school diploma. I didn't know how to read or nothing. After all them years of their me not blowing nobody up or hurting them, they said I had to go. But that's okay. That was back in 2009. To this day, I stay by myself. I got a lovely home. I'm by myself. And the rewards that I'm getting ready to tell you is only because of my God. But I haven't been employed since 2009. I never had a job since 2009. I never been homeless since 2009. Never been hungry since 2009. And the perks, this is just material stuff that I can go into a pipe in the cooker if I don't be careful. He said, you came in here humbly, nothing, walking. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make sure you keep a roof over your head. As long as you be humble and believe in me and have faith, I'm going to make sure you have not one but two automobiles so you can ride around with. You're going to be with some people who are going to help you. And to this day, I got people that will really help me. I don't call my sponsors like I should, and there ain't nothing against them. The step work, he tells me, he said, Eddie, we got to finish this. It's something that's about me. I can't comprehend. So, you know, but he don't put pressure on me, get mad at me, say, man, you why'd you come call me? Why'd you do the way you? He knows. I'm doing my best. And I got my best friend that takes me everywhere. We go to different places. Not about when people look at me and they talk to me and stuff. They just see a normal person, which I am normal. But they don't see that. When I tell people I can't read, I can't write, I'm trying my best. It's like, over where I live at, they don't want to believe it. You're lazy. You just ain't trying harder. Yes, I am. I just don't know how. It just ain't hurting me, but I got people that's why I love this retreat. This is, I go to Florida all the time with my mom. He brings me up here to places like this. This is my, you know, to speak to y'all. I ain't scared no more. Before I was saying, I would never try to take it to my grave because everybody think I'm Eddie. No, I look okay. I dress okay. I ain't dirty no more. Nobody know. And no, you hold a conversation with me, we'll hold a conversation. You never can tell that until you say, Eddie, won't you take this read and read this? Then you bust me. Or you say, Eddie, could you spell that word for me? And then I got to, then all of a sudden, then I know the humility that y'all call it starting to show up. But you know what? It's okay though, because I keep practicing and practicing, even though it might not work. But because I got doctors to tell me, you know what? You might not never get that. You might not never be able to read or get your education the way you want. But there's other stuff that you got more than that. You've been clean for 20 years. That's something that nobody done. You were there when your mother and daddy needed you at the end. What about the rest of your siblings at? They got money. They got nice cars. They doing everything. They didn't have time to sit there to when the people needed them at the most. So I look at it as a blessing. Maybe it wasn't meant for me not to be able to. Yeah, I would love to be able to read, be able to do right, to get a nice time, good job, be able to go here, go there. When I hear people say I'll go to Johnstown, I ain't nowhere but right here. Or I see people say I went to Butler, or I say I go to Hipport. When I see people say I'm going right out to the airport, out to Johnstown, I mean out to Carnegie, and I'd be like, I got a car. I'd be like, they say, Eddie, you want to ride me to the airport? You want to go to the mall out there, Robinson? I comes up with an excuse. Oh, now I'm busy, but why now I'm going to go out there on the parkway or out there to the Robinson? Because of the fact that they got some signs up there, and I can't read one of them signs. But that's humility. That's wrong. But you know what? But it's okay, though, because my God said, you didn't pick up today. As long as you didn't pick up, anything can be possible tomorrow. Because what's keeping you clean today might not keep you clean tomorrow. But as long as you don't pick up, I'm going to make sure you be clean every day. So, you know, I know that humility thing y'all talk about is something that I have to speak about. I got to let people know that, you know what, I'm grateful to this program. Because this, I've never been clean in my life. And to stick here for all these years, and there was a reason I stuck here for all these years, to meet the people that I met right now. For that person to come into my life and didn't do what I thought he was going to do, that's why I never did over on the hill. I never got nowhere over there, because I knew if I tell them people my problem, they'll look at me like, you're a Thompson. You're X-Nex, little brother. You're X-Nex, brother. They, nah, that ain't you. You can't tell me that's you, and all the rest of y'all is doing good. So, you know what? I played it off. I'm just like my rest of my siblings. But for real, I know I wasn't. And when I met my sponsor that I got today, and he didn't laugh at when I told him I had 15 years of clean time, because clean time don't equal recovery. But recovery equal recovery. And he put me on this road of being able to say that it's okay. You don't have to do, we got tapes now. Now we got tapes we can help you with. We got apps. My best friend put some apps on my phone and told me, man, if you need a meeting, you need this, this is what you do. Read this. Take a look at these apps and you go do this. You know what? And I'm so grateful for being able to say that this program works. I don't care if anybody tell me that this ain't a God-given program. I know it is. Because I tried this. I'm 60 years old. 60 years old. And I came in here when I was 40. And I tried my best not to get high. I done everything to quit shooting dope, doing all that. And my mother them still loved me all them time. Even though the rest of my siblings didn't want to be bothered with me, but my mother did. Much I came in smell like burnt wood like that. That's why I stay out that wood. So I see me many times out that wood right there drinking wine. Smelling just like a wino. Come in the house, my mother say, boy, you smell like burnt wood, but just don't worry about going down. So I figured, yeah, that's why I'll be a wino. Because that's what I am anyway. So that didn't work. So I started looking at the people on the set. I said, I ain't gonna do none of that. Yeah, I started popping pills and stuff. I said, I started being a pill popper, taking Quaaludes and stuff. That didn't work. I said, oh, that man look good tonight and stuff. I think I've turned myself into a junkie. So I started shooting dope. We got what coming to the house night. My mother said, what's wrong with you, boy? Nothing. So that didn't work. But in 1989, when I was introduced to that stuff that knocked me to my knees, that got me to where I'm at today, called crack cocaine, was the thing. Because I wanted to be a crackhead now. How did I wanted to be a crackhead? I went in the bathroom. In 1989, I didn't come out that bathroom until 98. I stood in that bathroom. Every time I come in the house, I run to that bathroom and smoke crack. My mother said, where the rent money at? Your daughter needs something from Pampers. Your daughter needs this. I say, Mom, you wouldn't believe it. I had all the money in my shoe and everything. I don't have it. She said, don't worry about my daughter Christmas. I used to look at that little girl on Christmas. She said, Dad, you know, Santa Claus ain't coming. I said, I know. I don't know why that man don't never come to this house. Because I'm a crackhead. But my mother still loved me. All women tell, and I'll be praised to my God, my understanding. Lord, please keep my mother and my dad alive long enough for my daughter to get old enough. Because I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't do nothing for her. And he did. When my mother passed away, my daughter was in her 30s. By the grace of God, she was able to go to college. I couldn't even go to, couldn't go to none of her beginning of schooling when she was going to my mother's, Father's Day and all that. I didn't do it. When she graduated from high school, I didn't do it. When she went to college, I still couldn't do it because I was so junky by then. But my dad, my mom went. When she went to college and graduated, got her, she got an associate degree in business. I went to one time. Then I left. My dad went. When she got her master's degree, I couldn't do nothing. But you know, today that girl loved me today. She came to my. She came to see me pick up 20 years. She knows that. Hey, you know what? And then my grandkids. I asked them. I'll be asked them. I said, my older grandson. He graduated from high school, going to college. And my other two grandkids. They the high honor rolls in school. And I always ask them, I say, could y'all read? That's all I ever wanted to know, if y'all can read. And they always say, Granddad, I can read. I say, good. I say, good. They say, Granddad, one day, I'm going to read. I'm going to take you out of here. You know? And that's all I wanted from them. And it's a humbling thing to know that, you know, you're hurting, but you know you're doing okay, though. Because I promised them, they'll never see me be a cocky granddad. And none of my grandkids ever see me touch a cigarette or nothing. I never had a cigarette in 20 years. Never had a drink in 20 years. Never shot dope or crack in 20 years. Because you know why? Because I know if I can't do nothing else, I can stay in this recovery because I got good friends now. I wouldn't leave this. I wouldn't trade this program in for nothing. Much as I can't do nothing. So what? Who cares? If I ain't doing the step work like y'all doing it. I'm doing it to the best of my ability. So when I hear people say, it's in the literature, you read this, I've been reading this. Good, that's all right. But I ain't picking up, though. I'm glad you're reading. I'm glad you understand every word in there. I ain't using it. I bet you I ain't picking up. And that's what the humility is, to be able to say that and feel okay about it. Feel okay about it, knowing that it's in you, that you're okay today. You don't have to worry about what other people think about you today. All they're going to do is keep you sick. And I didn't never notice that. I would wonder why I was standing still all them years doing nothing. And I'm like, this ain't how this program works. Anybody else, 15 years, just coming to meeting, not doing nothing, not doing no stuff, we're not helping out. So my sponsor told me, he said, you know that home group you've been sitting in for 15 long years, go back over there and do something in there. Get them newcomers when they come in to hug. Make sure you go ahead and be a GSOR secretary. I'm the secretary. Then he said, I'm going to get your H&I commitment. And I thought, I can't read. He said, no, you need to go somewhere and give this program, this hope you got, in this program to some of the newcomers, it's in these facilities. Every third of the month, I go to my H&I commitment. I can't wait to get there. Can't wait to bring somebody in. Now I'm getting ready to trade from being the person to go in there to the person to bring, to stand in there, guiding people to help out, to go in there. I'm getting more involved than what I'm supposed to. I just, like I said, only thing wrong with me is my lack of education. Anything else, just the best. I'm just like anybody else. And you wouldn't, nobody would never even know it if I didn't tell them this. You know, to look at me, to talk to me, people think, that's why I had so much problem when I tried to go down the different places and they talked to me and stuff. They'd be like, what did you say? I said, I need some help with this application. Is you crazy? What's wrong with you? Because nowadays, you shouldn't be this way. But you know what I look at is, hey, it's a blessing because I was with my mother, and it's a gray area. Sure, I ain't educated where I can make it, but I ain't down there in that spot where I walk around where you know it's a problem with me. So I'm in there between. I'm caught in that little between. But that's okay, though, because by me being caught there, I'm able to do other stuff. The system and stuff. See, they might not see me I am a protective society. Believe me, I am doing that right. But the system might not see me. Because when you get this way, like I am, there's only two ways to go. Either you're going to go here and say, what the hell, I'm going to get high, or I'm going to go out and do wrong to people, do whatever I got to do, because the society don't care about me anyway. Or I'm going to miss suicide, or you're going to do something different. In my case, I did something different. Because I knew it was better. I knew that wasn't my... I knew I never wanted to go out there and harm nobody. And I know darn well I ain't going to take nothing and cut myself up. You know, so I just said, I'll do something different. And I found the best sponsor in the world and the best friends in the world. Me and my man go everywhere. Then he introduced me to some more of his friends. I got people now, we up here at this retreat, and I got newer friends now. People I just met. You think they laugh? I mean, nah. They say, Eddie, what's up, Eddie? I like, you know what? They never knew my story. But you know what? I ain't ashamed to tell the story no more. At first, I thought it was a trickery when my sponsor asked me, said, you don't be speaking on this, because I don't know what it means. I'm like, oh, okay. And then it's the last meeting, too? I'm like, oh, okay. This is a joke. I don't know what it means. I've been asking everybody. One person told me it's in Latin. I said, Latin? He said, Spanish. I said, I don't even know how to speak Spanish. So I asked another person. He said, just be happy. I'm like, happy? I said, it's got to be more than that. Family all day and all day. I never gave up. I met a person that explained it to me. He said, just be yourself, Eddie. Go up there and tell them your story. Don't be scared. And then when I told him, I said, thank you. He said, what's your time? I said, because you know what? I can't read that good. My lack of education. He said, now I see why you was asking all them questions. Right. I needed to know how it really was, what I'm supposed to do when I get there. And he explained it to me the way this word is supposed to be written, telling the truth. Don't sit up here and make up stuff. You know, so what? What the worst can happen? You don't even really know them. If you did know them, what the worst can happen? They're going to say, you know what? Eddie can't even read. You know what? Let's trick them and give them this book to read. Nah, crazy as heck. It ain't going to happen. It will not happen. So, you know what? I come up and I tell you the truth because this newcomer needs to hear this. This program really works. Just don't go the way I did it. Because my God, my understanding was hold me for all them years till I can find somebody that will help me. But you don't have to do that. And if you is like me, come out your shell now. Time to talk about it. That's the only way that's the only way you can happen. We say we got a learning curve. Okay? So if you got that problem like I got, and you might have that curve that can take you up real quick. Me, I don't have that. But they say keep practicing. Yeah, I'll practice. But then my mind, my brain, my head, whatever, gets to the point where, like I told you at the beginning, I don't even want to call my sponsor. I don't want to call nobody. But I don't want to pick up either. But you know what I did? But it don't mean nothing. It don't mean that I'm lazy. It don't mean that I ain't trying or something. It's just that that's the way it was meant. You know, I looked at my siblings, and at first I was jealous of all y'all. Like I was jealous of my siblings and stuff. Even my own daughter and grandkids. Why? It ain't their fault. It ain't their fault. My mother and father learned me just like they learned everybody else. Told me the same thing. It's just something that happened. I got injured, and it affected me. And that's okay. Because it was there to watch them when they was ready to leave this world. They seen you clean all them years. That was the best gift you ever could give them. You wasn't that boy coming in smelling like that burnt wood no more. You wasn't that boy running in talking about, I'll get your rent money in a minute. I got to go in the bathroom. You ain't running in that bathroom no more. They was spread. My mother was able to say at the end to everybody else that was running around talking about their child doing drugs. And she said, oh, nope, not mine. He's clean. He goes to them meetings. Whatever they doing at them meetings, y'all say it's a cult. I don't care. As long as they keep him clean, he's doing all right. He's all right. I love that meeting. He said, I'm glad. My daughter was happy. My dad was proud to know that, you know what? He's good. And I made up my mind. When they closed their eyes, I said, I'm going to continue on this journey. But I like it. That's the only reason why I'm here. I'm telling you why I'm here. I like this. Makes sense to me. I know how to shoot dope. I know how to be a crackhead. I know how to be a wino. I know how to run these streets. I know how to game on people. But I didn't know how to stay sober. And nobody couldn't tell me. All I had to do was not pick up. Not pick up. 20 years. I used to hear people say they got 10 years or 5 years. I used to say they lying like heck. The way in heck they stay clean all them years. I know darn well until it happened to me. 20 years I never picked up, not having had a cigarette or nothing in 20 years. I never been disturbed. And only by the grace of God. So whatever that word I'm on. Yeah. I'm glad that he gave me that subject. I'm glad I'm able to talk to y'all. I'm glad I'm able to let it off my check and I feel better about it. Thank you. My name is Eddie. I'm Eddie.